Yes, hello and welcome back once again. It's another week of Less Than Jay. It's an off day, a glorious Thursday off day. We're recording just before 10 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday the 27th. We waited for the Leafs game to end. Jake, how did you think that went on your end?
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm shocked. I think there was no way it was going to be that easy, I guess, is my point.
Yes, we'll get into it a little later on in the middle for the Patreon-only folks. Can get the Leafs and some Raptors talk. But we're here to talk about the Blue Jays because it is Less Than Jays, and that is what we do. A great week to talk about the Blue Jays. As a matter of fact, coming off, I mean, no issues against the Chicago White Sox, who are very bad. Just very, very, very bad. A big-time sweep at the White Sox, and 2 of 3. Against the Yankees over the previous weekend. That feels good. The pitching looks incredible. Bassett turning it around. Yusei Kikuchi, maybe the most reliable guy in the lineup right now. Jose Berríos turning it around a little bit. Lots to like when it comes to the starting rotation for this team right now. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, especially considering a week ago, we were sitting here being like, do we trust anybody other than Kikuchi? All five great starts this week. Hard to, I mean, like you said, yes, playing the White Sox helps. build the whole plane out of the AL Central. but you know, I think after the years that Berríos had last year and sort of this year, and then after the I guess, yeah, Kikuchi's year last year, even though he's been great this year. I think any quality starts against major league lineups for them is a good thing.
How about a whole bunch in a row? Looking very, very, very good. Yeah, as you said, Jose Berríos, I think, is the big one. As much as it's been, Kikuchi obviously has been a delight the last little bit. Berríos was the one where it was like, are we ever going to see good Berríos again? And where back-to-back starts of 7 innings, last most recent one, 9 Ks, 4 hits, and no earned against the White Sox. God, as you said, build the whole plane of the AL Central. This is the dream of of the balanced schedule, right? Was like a little less Tampa and New York, a little more Cleveland and Chicago and Kansas City. And God, it was nice to have a team come in. I was struck with this during the series. Nice to have a team come in and play that, like, who gives a shit, outfield defense.
Yeah. Oh, that, their right fielder that in two plays in a row has had a nightmare out there on, I think it was on Tuesday.
Such a reminder that that's really annoying to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Truly.
And bad for your health of your baseball team, as it turns out.
Yeah, so. I mean, Tony Russo just broke those guys over his knee. But yeah, I think with Berríos, what, other than the underlying numbers, obviously, what really encouraged me was just the location and like the variety of pitches he was throwing. And I feel like we've seen him in his struggle starts. You know, it's just like meatball over the plate, middle, over and over and over again. And to see him locating his pitches on the corners and mixing in some really nasty sliders, getting up to, I think he hit like, what, 96? 97? Like seeing the velocity tick up, seeing the movement come back, seeing the control come back. It was like, oh, there's Jose Berríos. He looked like he did this in the back half of 2021. And you know, you can caveat it all you like with it's the White Sox, and fair enough if you would like to take the cynic's approach. But would it surprise you to learn that Jose Berríos is now 8th in the majors in FIP?
Crazy.
He is 2 above Shohei Ohtani in FIP this year.
It's crazy.
Leading the team.
It's crazy.
So it's, you can, you know, I think we're all sort of burned by his last 365 days, so I don't think any of us are going to sit here and be like, he's back. But when the underlying numbers in a granted small sample size point to that kind of success from your number four, I mean, that feels pretty good.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely. And yeah, that, I think some great points. He really does lengthen things and extend things. And boy, Kikuchi's been, like, not only is Kikuchi pitching well, he's like, is he my favorite pitcher to watch? Like, just like a lefty that throws 98 and has nasty stuff. He's looked absolutely excellent. Has been the second best pitcher in the rotation if you don't count Kevin Gausman. He's been the best, but back-to-back at 5 2/3 in the most recent one, 4 hits, 8 Ks. Before that, against the Yankees, 6 innings, 4 hits, the 1 earned, 2 walks. Still giving up 6 home runs this year, 3 of them came in one game, but other than that, has been really solid. Like, the long ball has sort of been the only issue. You know, very little to complain about when it comes to Yusei Kikuchi. 27 innings over his 5 starts, somehow they've gone through the rotation 3 to 5 times. Alek Manoah has the least amount of innings pitched.
Well, he got rocked twice, so that'll do it. Albeit once was less damaging.
Also tied for the most earned runs on the team, and has the least amount of strikeouts. Just a weird, and the highest FIP. It's all a bunch of strange stuff. But yeah, a lot to like there. Maybe some questions in the bullpen, and I mean, the big thing that happened this week in terms of player movement, Nate Pearson has been called up, and Adam Simber on the IL. Talk about a jolt of excitement. Maybe they felt a little bit around the team that, like, maybe some of the confidence in the bullpen was wavering, or people were starting to look around at Anthony Bass and the numbers for Jimmy Garcia and Trevor Richards pitching an awful lot, and just sort of said, we could use a jolt back here. We could use a change, and boom, Nate Pearson.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know we're going to get into this a little bit more in the mailbag, because I saw the question earlier. But in the bullpen, outside of Romano and, I guess, Swanson, and maybe Pop, if you really want to stretch it, there hasn't really been anyone who's sort of taken the reins and been, like, your shutdown guy. And, like, we talked about last week, like, we're seeing a lot of Adam Simber in high leverage, seeing a lot of Tim Mesa in high leverage. And so I think you're right. I think there needed to be a shakeup. I'm not 100% convinced that Simber's actually hurt.
No, me either.
Speaking of. But whatever they had to do to get Pearson up was good, because he was blowing away competition in AAA. And I think Pearson's now at a point, what, 4 years into his major league career?
That's crazy.
That... I think he was getting to a point that we saw with, like, Bo and Vlad, where it was like, who knows how this is going to translate the major league game, but you're not gaining anything by just, like, dominating children in AAA. Yeah.
Especially when you don't know how long he's going to stay healthy for. You sort of have to, if he's sustaining any sort of health, you sort of have to make it happen in the major leagues. It's sort of the only way forward, in a weird way.
Yeah, and then to see him come into a major league game and couple controlled jitters, and then one of the best at-bats we've seen from a Blue Jays pitcher this year against Benintendi, where he just, like, ate him for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's... I feel like I say this every week, that it's nice to have Pearson there because he's just a guy who does something different than the other guys in the bullpen. But to see him come in and not only do his thing that's different and touch a, whatever he was, like 99.4 or whatever that one fastball by Benintendi was, but also just throw some nasty curves. I saw today that the curve that struck out Benintendi had like a 51-degree drop.
Damn.
Or a 51-inch drop. I forget which unit of measurement they use for those.
Yeah.
But... like, and then just the other nasty curve right on the outside corner. Like, it was really, he didn't just come in and throw gas. He did that too, but he clearly has developed a repertoire of pitches, and, you know, it was one inning. So I'm not going to say that Nate Pearson is the savior of the bullpen just yet, but he certainly looks like a guy who can bring something interesting in the pen. And I think it's interesting to me anyway that, you know, for all the talk over the last now 2+ years about how the Blue Jays build their bullpen and whether it's any good or not. It's interesting to me that all the guys that were sort of, other than Romano, all the guys that were kind of excited about this year are relatively new additions with Pop and Swanson and now Pearson. So maybe there's something to that. Maybe not that the other guys aren't like okay. Like, I don't think there's anyone in the bullpen anymore that's outright bad, except maybe Anthony Bass.
Really? I'll say, man.
Maybe Anthony Bass is bad. But they, I wonder if that's telling from the last couple of years, in that the guys that you're kind of like, ugh, are the guys who've been around for a couple of years now.
Yeah, Trevor Richards, I think, is getting some of that. I think Tim Mayza, ERA be damned, continues to get that. He's giving in a bunch of inherited runners. No, I think some points well made there. I'm not afraid to say it, Jake. We are so back when it comes to Nate Pearson. We've never been more back. We are
truly. We were back this much for one inning in the fake playoff game.
We've never been more back than we currently are when it comes to Nate Pearson. I think all of that said, the not a coincidence, right, that the pitching has turned around and so has the record. I mean, they've been, after going 1-3, they've been superb since then. They're 16-9 currently, continues to have them sort of in a logjam. That's life in the AL East. There's some things on the other side of the ball. Dalton Varsho's cooled off quite a bit. He has not been too good. George Springer, I don't know what's going on with George. He just can't catch a break, George Springer. Hitting the ball hard for outs, hitting the ball softly for hits. Really, really strange start to the year for Springer, who is 216, 283, 320 right now for a 72 WRC+. One of the weird ones. Springer, a weird one, and Varsho. It's going to come and go with Varsho. Are you worried, though, about Springer right now? Is that something that you're sort of tracking?
Yeah. I mean, I said this to a friend, to some friends the other day, and or yesterday, I guess. And it's a joke, but it's not. I would almost feel better if he had broken his hand. because then he's out for a bit, and he rests. And, like, we've seen this movie before where Springer gets, like, softly hurt, and then he's like, I'm gonna play through it, and it just makes everything worse for the whole year. So that's where my concern with Springer's at. I don't want him playing through anything ever again.
It's concerning if that's the case, though, because, you know, he's on the not load management, but he's on the soft track, right? He's on the concerning.
I'm not really concerned about his production so far, though, before the injury.
It's pretty meager.
It is, but he's having a lot of bad luck. He's had a lot of hard hit balls that just, like, are going right at guys. And he's had a lot of, at least three this week I can think of that are, like, an inch from being a home run and just go foul. Look, it's definitely not where I would want George Springer to be. But I don't know. I'm not super concerned about it. I am much more concerned about the potential possible injury.
Sure, that's reasonable. I mean, history, scarring will give you that for sure. Let's see, Danny Jansen heating up a little bit, a couple bombs in the last week. Kevin Kiermaier, I mean, continues to just hearts and minds. I don't know how he's doing it every single day
until it stops. I think we just gotta ride that train.
Vladdy, I mean, we continue to talk about Vladdy, Bo Chapman at the top here. Matt Chapman, unbelievable how good Matt Chapman has been. And Bo, we talked about Bo, you know, being able to put together a complete season right now at 157 OPS plus, hitting 340, 381, 528 with five home runs. I've had no complaints about the start of the season Bo Bichette has had. Even, you know, defensively, there's been, he still wince a little bit, but it hasn't been debilitating at any point.
Yeah, since the opening weekend, really, his defensive mistakes have been fine. Mm-hmm. Like, if he's going to hit like he's hitting, that amount of defensive mistakes I'm okay with. It's the game-changing defensive mistakes that become a problem. But he seems to have, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of opportunity, but, you know, if he's hitting 340, it's hard to be like, well. But yeah, Chapman, obviously.
I was going to say, speaking of defensive mistakes, not worrying about because
yeah,
Matt Chapman's been not that good defensively, but it
hasn't. Still not concerned. I am enjoying the fact that Matt Chapman is first in offensive WAR right now, and not even on the leaderboard for total WAR.
Well, yeah,
which for Matt Chapman, like, you usually, if Matt Chapman was in first in offensive WAR, he'd be like first in the league in total WAR by a mile. But
negative defensive value. Negative defensive value.
That's wild.
Nobody is barreling the ball better. Nobody is barreling the ball more often. Nobody is hitting the ball harder. Nobody has a better expected slugging or expected batting average, expected barrel rate. He's crushing everything, and it's unreal. What a guy to have. What a year he's putting together. And not being good defensively is the funniest part, for sure.
It's wild. But then also he has plays like a couple yesterday that were just like routine – or not routine grounds, a third, like in the hole at third, and just like a rocket across the diamond, and you're like, oh, okay,
yeah, he'll get,
he can still do that.
He'll get back there. Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, like the three big dogs are all in the top six in hits, so it's not, you know, hard to complain about that. And as you said, they're winning games. A thing that's annoying me, you sort of touched on it, was in our season preview show, we talked about how much we wanted the Jays to be good, like, from April onwards. And we didn't want the, like, late season. Well, if they go 32-10 in the last 42, they'll make the playoffs. How frustrating is it for them to win 16-plus games in April and they're third in the division?
I think they're right on another 93-win pace, right? Or what's the pace right now?
I think it's, like, 99.
Crazy. And it's because of Baltimore, not even because of the Yankees.
And the Rays.
Yeah, the Rays thing is...
Fucking Rays.
The Rays thing is absurd. Let me do a quick piece of math here.
Yeah, they're a 64% win percentage.
103, yeah, 103 win pace. Finish third in the East. That's not going to happen. We know that much. Big weekend coming up. The Seattle Mariners on the way in. Old friend Teoscar Hernandez in town. Just a quick check-in on our old pal. 100 plate appearances now with the Mariners. Just two walks, the least amount of walks of any qualified batter in the league. 234, 270, 457 for a 727 OPS or a 104 OPS plus. Six home runs, I believe. So slugging, not getting on base to any degree. but he's hitting the ball hard when he hits it. Sort of the same old slumping Teoscar story, I think.
Yeah. But damn, he looks good holding that trident.
He does look good. Isn't it funny that every team in the league now except the Jays has a home run thing?
I was thinking that. Even the Pirates, I think, have a jacket.
Jacket, there's the Homer Hose in Baltimore, there's Cheeseheads. The
Samurai Helmet.
And now the Jays are the serious team. Seattle, 11-13. Let me ask you this. Do you consider this to be, I don't want to call it a rivalry, but are they behind Tampa, New York, and Boston, and then ahead of everybody else in terms of hatred? Not hatred, but like,
I don't want to say hatred. I think you said it well last week. I think they hate us.
Yes.
I don't really have any thoughts about the Mariners.
Even after blowing 8-1 last year,
I mean, they beat. I don't think that makes you a rival when, like, your team fucks up and loses. Like, I feel like, and there wasn't really even like much controversy or bad blood in that series. The Jays just lost. Like, I feel like the Rangers became rivals in the middle of the decade, because there was like, there's the bat flip, there's the weird run scored, there's the fight. The Royals in 2015, when there was sort of the bench clearing mid-season, like, that I think is a quick rivalry. But like, I get Mariners fans being annoyed about Jays fans taking over their stadium every year.
Mm-hmm.
That I totally get.
Because I was going to say, there was some bad blood in the end of 2016.
There was, but I think that was mostly Jose Bautista's doing and their fans being mad about our fans.
Right.
And I understand that. Like, I'm not if a bunch of it's like how we feel like Yankees fans coming and invading SkyDome. I totally get it. But from our side, I don't see how you could possibly have any, like, you know, not yet. Like, maybe if they play each other in the playoffs again this year. Sure. But, like, to use the hockey example, like, if the Leafs and Lightning weren't playing in the playoffs every year, like, would you ever care about them?
I guess that's true. I think Seattle's going to come in pretty hyped up, frankly.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think, as you said, I think,
especially with Manoah Castillo right off the bat.
Manoah Castillo, you know, the Teoscar return. I think there is quite a bit of not animosity, but I think Seattle's coming into this one pretty pumped up. That's my expectation, especially they're 11-13, looking to get back to 500 if they have a good series. I think it'll be a good weekend. I think it's exciting to have sort of not a rivalry, but a team that you're starting to see sort of the rise and the story coinciding with the Jays' rise and story quite a bit, right? Young teams, exciting teams, adding veterans, adding good players. I'm excited to see what this weekend turns into. And the Teoscar, you get a video, I assume, a video and a standing.
I would think so. I think you have to, right?
Yeah, I think so. He's pretty beloved. I don't see why you wouldn't.
Yeah, and just to finish the rivalry point, I think you're the closest I think you can get there is like what you just said about how they're two teams sort of on similar trajectories, similar timelines, similar young, fun talent. So I guess in that sense you could call it a rivalry, but like, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see the Teoscar tribute because we love Teoscar.
Absolutely right. I'm going to take a quick pause. We get a hefty. We got double-digit mailbag questions and 5 voicemails, so lots of mailbag to come up. We'll take a quick break here. We're going to talk a little Raptors and Leafs on the Patreon and then the mailbag for you folks on the main feed after this. Jake, last week you put the challenge out. You said, I dare you to leave a voicemail.
I did. I think I said, I fucking dare you.
You might have said fucking. Well, less than Jay's Nation has responded. That's all I can say.
Unbelievable. Best fan. The St. Louis Cardinals fans of podcasts. Fans.
It's an interesting way to put that.
the best fans is what I meant.
Yeah, I got it.
You know what I mean.
You took a walk, but you got to the destination.
Yeah, sorry.
So five voicemails today.
Wow, that's wild.
It is tremendous. So I'm going to...
Proud of all of you.
Try to make sure I play these in order. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go.
Hey guys, this is Peter calling in. You might remember me from such voicemails as All In for call-in, and fuck it, embrace the darkness, go Astros. I've recovered from both of those things now and doing much better. Anyways, great to know the voicemail line's still open. I feel like it's delivered some gold here and there, so I'm glad it's still around. I was listening to the Jays game today on the Sportsnet app, which is great because it's free, which is, I'm surprised they're not trying to gouge more money out of me for it, but they started playing an ad before it even starts streaming, because of course they can find more ways to sponsor things. But that leads me to my question. What would be the Less Than Jade broadcast sponsorship? Like, what graphic or stat or what feature of the game would be brought to you by Less Than Jade?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. I'll hang up and listen. Bye.
Love that.
I feel like it would probably be the amount of hot dogs eaten on hot dog night.
See, I think Schneider's has that fucking
handled. Yeah, but this is our own hypothetical where they're giving us sponsorship time on a broadcast.
So I think it's when they show the guy calling the bullpen, because we have the we would shoehorn the call in line into.
That's good. This is called the bullpen, brought to you by Less Than Jays. Call whatever our number is. Yeah.
What is
87 something, right? Well, I'm supposed to know a phone. I don't know, like, most people's phone numbers.
833-714-7774.
There it is. See? I prompted it out of you.
You did get it out of me. I'm going to say...
Organic advertising.
I'm going to say the call to the bullpen. They show somebody on the phone. We say, if you want to make a call, pick up the phone and dial, so on and so forth.
That's a good one. I like that. I feel like we could also do... pitching changes, but only if someone's been terrible.
Yeah, pinch runner.
Yeah, not pinch hitter, but pinch runner. I like.
Maybe that's no good. Or the review. The review.
No one wants to sponsor the review. Hate the reviews. Let's speed up the game by looking at 19 camera angles for 5 minutes.
Or maybe just the bullpen camera, when they just go to the bullpen camera.
I feel like it. Yeah, it's got to be something kind of like.
Well, they have to do it every game, also. And we're not getting our advertising dollars.
Well, because they were doing that Budweiser thing at the start of the year. They were like saying, this Bud's for the home run or whatever. I feel like I would want like organic advertising like that.
Yeah, I can't can't comment on.
Right, of course.
Good for them. That's, yeah.
I like the call to the bullpen.
Just the phone call, though, not the actual pitching change.
Yeah. No. I gotcha.
Speaking of calls, here's the second call.
Hey, Zoobs. Hey, Jake. This is Drew. First time, long time. Question for you about the fan base. I teach middle school in the GTA.
Cool.
And... Uh-huh. There is a pretty glaring divide when it comes to kids who either love the Jays or even care about baseball and kids who don't. And it is stark, the lack of diversity when it comes to Jays fans in the classroom. And I feel like that might be a reflection of what's in the stands as well. I'd love to hear what you guys think about what the Jays can do to reach those more diverse populations. Because we know that the Sky Dome will be packed on country night, and everybody loves, you know, Dalton Varsho. But why can't we have the same sort of fan base that the Raptors have worked to get? Right? Why can't we have that kind of outreach? You know, why is it still about as lily white as it was, you know, when the Jays made their debut? So, anyways. Keep it up, guys. Look forward to listening to you every week. Let's go, Birds.
Wow, great call. I would start by saying, Drew...
Turned into a really good question.
I'd start by saying, Drew, you are smarter than us. Keep that in mind.
Yeah. I would also like to point out that we are super white. So our strategies for this will be incorrect.
Yeah, I'm so white when people are like, what's your heritage? All I can say is like sort of a mutt white. I don't really know.
I am quite literally half Canadian, half British.
I can go back about two generations to Saskatchewan, and then it's like my great great grandma had enough male suitors that they don't really know. You sort of can't go more than three generations back because we don't really know.
Yeah, I'm Jewish, but I'm not like. Interestingly Jewish. I'm just like Canadian and British Jewish, which is not a great Jewish.
So anyway,
like just in terms of like, you know, in terms of I'm not diverse, I would say.
I gotcha. To seriously handle this question, I think it starts at a ground level. I think it starts at a outreach level into the schools and meeting people. The team certainly is very white this year as well. They Teoscar and Lourdes, not white guys. Gabby Moreno, not a white guy. and replaced with the whitest of white guys. Florida white, Wisconsin white, middle America white. It's Dalton Varsho, the most Wisconsin man to ever live. It starts with marketing. It starts with outreach. It starts with, you know, someone like Vladdy, sort of putting them front and center and showing off their love of the game. And it also, you know, it comes from a little bit about what the parents are watching and the generation that comes before, right? I think by the time it gets to kids, it's almost, not that it's almost too late, but the generation of Raptors fans that came up from families that were interested in basketball, that the parents watched basketball, or the older brother watched basketball, or the older sister watched basketball, and it trickled down to become like a family thing, and that became what they did in their home lives. So how do you make that something? I don't know. Winning obviously also helps, right? The Raptors' explosion times up with them being a championship level team. There's not two ways about it. If they had a deep playoff run, I think you get more people of more types interested. But yeah, there's no question that it's not a very diverse team right now. You look at the on-field product. I'm not an expert on this sort of thing, that to sort of figure out how you market it and figure it out. But I think it starts with getting into the schools, and Jay's care does a pretty decent job at that. But I think it's a familial thing. I think it's a generational thing. And I think it comes up as like, are the parents watching? And for a young kid, and is the kid interested in what the parent is doing? Baseball also notoriously sort of a hard sport to get kids interested in unless they're playing it and enjoying it. We'll see if the pitch clock helps with that. But you know, kids these days are it's really easy to watch basketball highlights on YouTube or TikTok or your phone. Like, basketball highlights really translate nicely to that because they're very exciting. They're naturally very quick. Baseball highlights are sort of always the exact same thing over and over again. It's a hit, and then it's hit really hard, or it's a pitch. That's really cool. This is a thing that baseball in general is reckoning with, not just the Blue Jays, not just here. It'd be interesting to see if that changes over the coming generations. I know that really wasn't an answer, but it's not something that we're especially equipped to tackle either.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you said. Sort of just to add on, I guess, with my also not relevant 34-year-old white man opinions. I think, one, you need an exciting generational talent that is easily digestible in a, oh, that's really cool sense. Like, the Raptors didn't really start to take off in popularity until Vince showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince showed up, and all of a sudden it was highlight dunks and game winners and the dunk contest. And obviously dunks are a much easier, cooler, more marketable thing than 95% of baseball. So I think you need Vlad, basically, to like hit 60 home runs kind of thing. I think that would go a long way of like capturing press attention, capturing just like general awareness and media attention to bring to the team. And to your point, a person of color on the team doing it, I think, is key.
Ultimately, you're going to let kids play too. You let them play the game.
Yeah.
Understand? Because it's a complicated game to just look at.
Yes.
Hey guys, it's Dylan here. One of the check in and let you guys know that I just didn't want you guys to shut down the phone line. So I'm going to give you guys a few comments and a question. I had the Cubano hot dog during the first week of the homestand with the Jays. It's fine. The elements were good together, but, you know, I think in the end you kind of just wanted them separately. I think I was, after eating it, I was like, I'd rather just have a hot dog or a Cuban sandwich. So that's just kind of my thoughts on that. I think I wanted to ask, with Kevin Kiermaier kind of being so well adored by the Jays fans so quickly, after being hated for so long, I kind of wanted to wonder, which villains of Jays past do you think could have gotten a 180 if they had joined the Jays, if they had a stint with the Blue Jays at some point in their career? And I guess on the other side of that, which villains of the past, no matter what, if they even played for the Jays, just that image could never have been improved. I feel like there's a former Texas Ranger that probably fits that bill, but I'm curious curious to see what you guys think. All right, thanks.
Yeah, Ruben Odor it's not happening.
Here's the thing about Ruben Odor, though. He would have fit like a glove with the 2015 and 2016 teams.
How dare you?
That is a team just of jackasses. I think once the brawl with Jose happened, it was no going back. Before that, if he had been a free agent in 2016, they signed him, he would have fit right in.
Mm. Well, I was ready for them to sign Johnny Cueto, so.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good one.
I think that fits. Let's see. They sort of went a while without really having too many.
Well, you have to be good to have, like.
Right.
Villain.
Kevin Gausman almost fits the bill a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe he started the 2016 wildcard game.
Not that he was ever hated, but a guy that, like, was on arrival. I'm trying to think, like, who's really been hated? Who do Jays fans really, really, really hate, you know? AJ Burnett sort of was the way out that got him. People used to get booed for leaving, not for not playing.
Yeah, John Farrell.
There's always people would leave and we would boo them versus coming back in. But Odor is 100% the guy that it would never work ever again. I'm trying to think, like, was there any Royals? I said Johnny Cueto, maybe some of those bullpen guys, but I don't even think so.
I feel like there was... Ventura, maybe, because he hit
sure.
Donaldson that one game.
I like it. Yeah, like nobody hates Sal Perez, do they? There's no, like, we don't boo Sal Perez when he comes around.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
I think you're right, though. I think it's just there aren't enough. Like, we hated lots of players, like on the Red Sox and Yankees, but there was never a chance they were. Like, maybe Brett Gardner was sort of bandied about the other last year, yeah. Which, like, I would have hated that, but.
That's right, Brett Gardner. Oh, my God.
And, like, if they had signed Aaron Judge this year, like, I'm sure everyone would have gotten it over it pretty quickly, but.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah, we haven't had one in a while.
Aaron Judge is kind of good one.
I'm glad that, I hope we get a good, like, I hope the Seattle thing turns into a real rivalry so we can get like some real fireworks again. It's like, I guess maybe Garrett Cole now.
Sure. I guess thinking Cole Hamels. He wasn't really a rival though.
No, we just owned him.
Yeah. Good question. Okay, this one's from Charles.
Hey guys, it's Charles. First time, long time. I'm going full Jays talk here since, as you guys say, this is the lowest standards in podcasting.
It's true.
Damn straight.
I've got a galaxy-sized brain itch that I can't quite shake right now. And I want to share this with you because it's completely irrational and has no bearing on what's going to happen after in the season whatsoever. But
hell yeah,
it's there. And then I have a follow-up question for you guys. So the first one is Matt Chapman. Having an incredible season. I really like the way that the offense has opened up for him this season after seeing him struggle last year. But why is he always clean shaven and why are Yankees insiders talking as if it's already a done deal that he's going to the Yankees? I know that's never going to happen in a million years, but I can't shake that thought out of my head now after the last series with the Yankees. So my question to you, are there any galaxy brain itches, fears, wishes for this team, not actually pertaining to the on-field product? And if not, if I'm just crazy, feel free to laugh at me. But anyways, thanks for the time, guys. See you later.
Excellent.
Oh, you've come to the right place.
Excellent. I mean, listen, I'll tell you this. It's not ever that far from my mind that, like, you know, if Vladdy sort of has to say that he loves it here, right? He sort of has to. Mm-hmm. It's not that I doubt him. It's just like he has to say it. He can't not, he can't not say it. That's all I'll say for now.
I'll just say sort of on what was said. Matt Chapman's not going to be a Blue Jay next year.
I don't think so either.
Like, it's not going to happen. So maybe for that one. I don't know if all my takes are just made out of rage rather than like conspiracy or galaxy.
You have a rage take?
No, just like generally, like when they come to me. I guess mine is I don't know. I have Dalton Varsho opinions, but I'm not sold on them yet.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, my sort of galaxy brain is I don't know that. I mean, this is not new. I don't know that anybody in the bullpen is good.
Well, I've been saying that. There's. We'll get to that in a sec, but yeah, absolutely not. The bullpen is average at best.
Yeah, I
know that's been like a ignition point for Blue Jays Twitter this week.
Yeah,
but it's okay to think your bullpen is bad again.
Yeah, listen, the galaxy brain one for me is like every time a youngster on a different team signs an extension. Like Vladdy and Bo are not signing extensions, like full stop. Until
no, oh my god, no, they're gonna hit the market and get paid
100%. We need to stop doing it every single time. Brian Reynolds signs, and you keep like, oh man, the Jays should be doing this. Like, it's not going to happen.
Brian Reynolds isn't like a generational talent. No offense to Brian Reynolds,
exactly. He's right,
a fine offensive player, but like, players sign for what the market will bear, and no player is gonna sign for less than the market will bear.
That's right. And Brian Reynolds, there's a chance that he is bad and doesn't get he gets non-tendered on his last year of ARB or whatever it is. He signed the $100 million contract. That's not happening with the Blue Jays. It's just not.
That's the downside of having a good baseball player, frankly.
That's right. Anyway, yeah. Why it's the Yankees with Chapman? I mean, it's possible. Here's the thing is if that happens, you'd tell yourself, and I would too, that it's a Donaldson thing, right? He'll go there and immediately be terrible. That this is the best Matt Chapman year that will ever happen again. It's happening right now. So don't worry about it that much.
It's the Marcus Semien.
That's right.
Who's pretty good.
I was going to say, Texas lead in the West, but that's fine.
It's not about my joke, so.
Final voicemail of the day.
Hey, guys. It's Sean Woodley. I hope you're doing well, enjoying the show. I need to ask a question regarding the goddamn Rays and Orioles. I feel like this is the earliest I've ever been scoreboard watching, and it's because the Rays and Orioles can't stop winning. Is this what it's going to be like all season long? Are the Rays and Orioles going to come back to earth at all? Are they ever going to play a good team? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
So this is the thing, the high-stepping about the balanced schedule, is the rest of the AL East is also playing that balanced schedule. So this team isn't playing anybody good. We just kicked the shit out of the White Sox for 3 games. That's going to be how it goes. It's going to be tough.
No. Yeah, I don't think so. I think the Jays are going to have control of this division by July.
By July? Wow.
Do not believe in the Rays keeping this up. And I don't believe in the Orioles yet.
Yeah, I don't think the Rays, we talked about before, the Jays are like 103 win pace. I don't think the Rays are winning like 120 games this year.
No. I think they're going to come back down to earth. I think just watching us take, like, obviously it's one series, but taking 2 of 3 from them, it's kind of like, okay. Yes, they're going to get their wins just like we will against the balanced schedule and the more bad teams they'll play, the AL Central, etc. But I really think it's going to sort of shake out in the next month or two, and come July, the Jays are going to, I'm not going to run away with the division by any means. Like, the Rays are never going to just go away. But I don't think it's going to be this kind of, it's not going to be this all year.
Could maybe get some good value on Jays to win the division out there.
Yeah.
Maybe. Not that we do sports betting, but if you were to.
No, never.
I mean, like, as a show, we don't do sports betting.
No, we're not.
All right. You have to stop making sure I can't put segments on them. Okay, we're gonna take a break and do the.
I mean, you're the one who did a whole segment fucking shitting on Canadian television, so.
On a part that we knew was behind the paywall.
All right.
All right. We have a lot of mailbag questions, too. We're going to do a quick break and do that after this at the end. Okay, Jake, a lot of show today. Holy cow. Lot of show. You heard the phone line, 833-714-7774. That's what it's supposed to be like. Great questions, great answers.
I'm not gonna dare you this week.
Appreciate that. But if you keep it up, I mean, great stuff in there.
Yeah, if you want to, like, that's fine.
Very quickly, Added Value asks us on Twitter, so is Barrios good now or not? Maybe? And do you guys have any ideas how I can fit staff ace Yusei Kikuchi on the back of a jersey? I think Barrios is going to settle back into like a mid rotation guy, like a quality just below four ERA guy. I think he is talented enough to slide back to that. As long as we're not, you know, he gives up three runs in his next start and we panic again. I think the tools are there and like the changes weren't really crazy, right? He just had to make sure he was doing the same things in different parts of the zone. So I'm confident Barrios is going to be okay and going to be a serviceable number three the rest of the way here.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's not going to be staff ace Jose Barrios, but I agree. I think he's going to be basically what we wanted him to be this year. I think he's going to be a very good number four, which translates to like a decent pitcher.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And the Kikuchi thing, just go King Kikuchi.
Yeah. I mean, as we said, I'm all in for just like letting it ride till it doesn't.
Yeah. Mike asks us, what is in your mind the right way to welcome back a player like Teoscar Hernandez? Do you cheer for his first plate appearance only every time he's up? Do you cheer if he hits a home run? Maybe only if the game is out of reach for the other team. Baseball is unique, right? And then it's the sustained booing is not the same. And he was traded away. So I think for Teoscar is you do big round of applause first at bat, obviously, right? You let him tip the cap first at bat. And then if he was like your guy, polite applause for the rest of the first game. And then by Sunday, just another player.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Unless his home run is like towering, in which case, fair enough. But yeah, I agree. I think the fact he didn't leave on like bad terms, the fact it wasn't his choice to leave, there's no reason for there to be any sort of booing for him. But yeah. By Sunday, he's just a Mariner.
Yeah, I think in listening, obviously, not everybody's going to go to every game. But I think if you were in a hypothetical world where you're at every game, mm-hmm. the first at bat every day, and then again the end of Sunday, just another guy. Again, if he's your guy, polite applause. BK asked us the big one. Let's hear your bullpen confidence ratings right now.
All right, so I'm just going to tier them to make it easier.
Yes, I agree.
Rather than like rating. So for in terms of like guys I like seeing come into the game, we got Romano, which...
you say, already dicey.
Yeah, no, guys I like seeing... I mean, Eric Swanson's been, like, speaking of Teoscar, like, I know we both were like, oh, no, he's been amazing. Yes.
Swan's
like he's top. He's been so good. I would like to see him a lot more than we are. So he's at the top of my confidence rate rankings. Zach Pop, I think, is number two.
Wow.
It would be Pearson. I just haven't seen enough of him.
Okay.
Then I'd go Romano, Pearson, and then Jimmy, and then the rest.
Okay. So I like to do like a triangle. Like, so there can only be one guy at the very top. And right now for me... It's still Romano. He's still the guy that you go to if it's the eighth inning and you need to get five outs. You go to Romano to get five outs.
I don't know what it is. I did this last year too, where I just like don't trust him, and he's like good. I don't know what it is.
So I have Romano in the top, and then I have Swanson in below that. I would say Swanson and probably Swanson alone. See, yeah, so probably you're right. It's probably Romano and Swanson together in the top tier. I don't know why I said it would be. Mm-hmm. So A tier is Romano Swanson. B tier is probably Jimmy and Pop and Pearson. C tier is Mesa and Richards, and D tier is probably Bass and Simber. The Simber thing is like, I would be trading him. He had unbelievable numbers his last 2 years. It's one of those ones where like I feel like he needs to move around a bunch. He needs to get seen for the first time a bunch by different teams. I feel like after a certain point, you're throwing 84 over the middle of the plate. It's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the fact that there's only four or five guys that we both were like, yeah, okay, is not great.
It's the way it goes. Johnny Junta Johnny G wants to know the perfect amount of marijuana in one's systems to ensure they can pitch well at Rogers Center. So what I would do, I would take a gummy or like an edible, probably 10 mg, and I would take it as I was walking out to my bullpen session. So that the bullpen session, you are taking 100% sober, you're getting warmed up, but then by the end of it, you're starting to like scale up a little bit. You get the national anthem to focus in, and then by the time you're on the mound, your heart is racing and the blood is pumping, and you're ready to go, and you're feeling at one with your body. The only trouble here is, you know, 2 hours in, are you spaced? Are you still able to pitch? Hopefully you've five and dive by then. So I'm going to say a 10 mg gummy taken right before I walk to the bullpen.
The answer for me is absolutely zero.
Yeah, you'd be a wreck.
I don't do well with the marijuana drugs. Never have. I think I can't imagine. Actually, no, I can imagine a lot of things I'd rather do less than play baseball high. But it wouldn't go well at all.
Yes. Good one here from YJ's. Do you think you'll ever have a Travis Snyder level love for a prospect again? Has anybody come close since? The first part of this is no, I won't. Because I'm old also, right? Like for me, it would just be weird to be like,
yeah, good point.
I'm in love with this 21-year-old. And like, if Vlad didn't do it, who would ever do it, right? Is sort of the other part of it.
I feel like there was potential for it to be Pearson, but the pandemic kind of scuttled it.
I would say
there's a lot of hype for his spring start that year.
The closest anybody has come since is indeed Nate Pearson. 2020, when it was like, it's only 60 games. He's only gonna make 10 starts. Like he could make 10 good starts and then make, you know, two more starts in the playoffs. So I was in on that and throwing 104 with nasty stuff. That's the closest, but it also sort of breaks my rule of never falling in love with a pitcher. So it's very tough. It's very tough.
I feel like Austin Martin had the potential to be that kind of guy for me, but then they traded him, so it didn't matter. And then he was like bad.
Jobber. So. Absolute jobber.
We'll see with Ricky T, but you're right, though. You can't be an adult and do that.
And, like, the world has changed a little bit, right? It was different. We were just sort of just – like when you and I were growing up, we didn't know anything about prospects. You didn't know about anybody until I got here. And that sort of changed, right? Now it's become its own little industry, and it's also not novel and new like it was – in the mid 2000s, like it was, or late 2000s, I guess it was like new to have access to this sort of stuff, and now it's not new, you know.
And there was a whole like narrative to go along with Snyder too. It wasn't just that he was a prospect.
He was 40 home runs every year, guaranteed.
Yeah, and it was the up and down, and it was the when is it good? Like there was a whole thing to Snyder.
Yeah, it had to be a 38-year-old rookie now for it to. Jay's Retro asks, which Friday night London Majors game should we take our wives to when you're visiting St. Thomas? I mean, Majors, Panthers, Kitchener against London. That'll be fucking great.
Is that the IBL?
Is
that
it the, is the IBL.
Maple Leafs?
It is the IBL.
Yeah. You should come down and sit on the hill at Christie Pitts. The best way to watch a baseball game.
London Majors, I believe, are your defending champions of the IBL.
I think you're right, yeah. I think they beat the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, our Kitchener Panthers, Jack Couch Stadium. That's a good time. It's a good time out there.
They have a full. They have an actual like stadium.
Yes, indeed.
That's cool.
And I don't know if you've ever been to Labatt Park, London. I have has not. A gorgeous stadium.
That's very cool. I didn't know that. I didn't know teams in that league had like stadiums.
Welland has a really nice stadium as well. The Welland Jackfish have a really nice stadium. I haven't been to the Guelph one, but yeah, Kitchener Jack Couch Stadium is very nice. Yeah, Jack Couch Park, pardon me. But yeah, it's a nice little place to watch a ball game. Shout out to the IBL. And then finally, James Gleason asks us, what new addition to the Rogers Center would you like to add in? What haven't they done? I feel like we touched on this similar to this a couple times.
Yeah. Just get some like local beer and restaurants in there. Enough of this fucking nonsense.
Jay's history.
Museum as well.
Food and drinks doesn't move me that much. I just don't care that much about the food and drinks.
I just want it for like the vibe rather than I'm still never going to buy food there.
Right. So
I just like
that's sort of it to me. It's like if I'm never going to buy it, what do I care what if the local food is there?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Couldn't care less. Jay's history should be a Jay's museum behind the Jumbotron. I've said it many times. You should be able to walk back behind there. That's what other good stadiums, when you're walking out of the view of the baseball game, you can see things about the baseball team. So a little Jay's Hall of Fame, jersey history, great moments. I'd have a little Jay's Hall of Fame. The Cincinnati Reds do a great job. The Reds have a Cincinnati Reds museum outside their stadiums, so you can go through.
That's awesome.
You can go through. It's the oldest baseball team in the world, but you can go through and right. see old uniforms and old gloves and. Reds history is right there. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to change my answer, actually. Be to revamp the outdoor area around the park.
Good call. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, the ring around Skydome sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just nothing. I would, like, there's not a ton of space to do stuff there, but there's enough space to do stuff there.
That's a good call.
I'm sure the fucking car people in Toronto will throw a stink, but. Whatever, Stephen Holiday. Suck it.
Anyway, that's it. That's the mailbag. That's an episode. Holy cow, that's a lot of talk.
We did it.
Yeah.
That was a big talk.
I was going to do an extra thing, but there's no reason to go to break.
And no,
it's an hour 20 in the show. That is it for another week. We will be back next week. Thank you to everybody on the Patreon. We're donating 12 tickets to, I think, First Up is what it's called. So that's pretty cool, and sent somebody to the Tuesday game as well for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays this week, it's the Mariners in town for the weekend, as I mentioned. That is cool and exciting. Should be fun to Oscar back. And then they're off to Fenway Park for 4 against Boston Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We will talk to you after that series next week. Looking forward to that. Any parting shots, Jake?
Go Leafs, I guess.
Go Leafs. Go Jays. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for being a part of Less Than Jays.